You're listening to Action Magazine, the podcast, the weekly download on what's shaping in the future of film, festivals, and the creative voices behind entertainment. I'm your host, Victoria, filmmaker, documentarist, and editor-in-chief of Action Magazine. From solo insights to on-the-ground festival coverage and stories from across the creative world, this podcast keeps you in action. Welcome to episode 9 of Action Magazine, the podcast. In today's episode, we're going to have a conversation with filmmaker Jeff Finn about his new 3-part docuseries, Before the End, Searching for Jim Morrison. Let's get to it.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining this meeting.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Let me introduce myself. I'm Victoria. I'm the editor-in-chief of Action Magazine. Our magazine's goal is to give voice to emerging creatives out there, inspire them, teach them about the industry. So it's a pleasure to have you here, learn about your journey and about your project as well. So I would like to get started. Could you give me a brief introduction about yourself and about your background?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's nice to meet you. My name is Jeff Finn. And I'm an independent documentary filmmaker and writer. I've been now, well, next month, October of 2025, will mark the 40th anniversary of my independent research into Jim Morrison's life and death. Shows you how old I am. I began when I was 18 years old. And it wasn't a full-time pursuit back then, you know, it was more of a, but it was more than a hobby. So somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But as the years went on, it became a full-time pursuit. Certainly over the last nearly 13 years, when I worked to create the 3-part docu-mystery, as I call it, Before the End, Searching for Jim Morrison. So.
That's amazing. And can you tell us a little bit about this docu-mystery, what it's all about and what inspired you?
Oh, again, it goes back to, you know, full circle down that rabbit hole. As I say, I call it the Morrison rabbit hole. That began in October of 1985, as I said, when I first read No One Here Gets Out Alive, the first official biography of Jim's life. And I read the book in one night back then. And binged it, as they now say. And I just instantly, instinctively sensed that, you know, there is no way he passed away, given how and when they claimed that he did so. So that was just my gut instinct from the jump. So it's been there all this time.
And you've spent years working in this story. What kept you going? Because it's a long journey to make this happen. And as filmmakers, it's tough to find inspiration sometimes. How did you deal with that?
I initially a lot of caffeine, I think, back in the day. That always helps. But on a serious note, it became, I don't know, these words are so silly to me, like obsession or vision quest, you know, but for lack of a better term, it just was a truly consuming passion of mine to bring a deeper understanding to what we know or think we know about, you know, Jim Morrison, the rock star.
Yeah.
Certainly he was that, and he was amazing. He was a groundbreaking rock star in so many ways. But my what kept me going was, okay, they're not only just about the death, you know, the supposed alleged death, but about his life. You know, I thought there has to be more to this guy than leather pants and rock debauchery. Again, not that that wasn't part of who he was, but that was just that, a part. You know, there was more to a person than just a single part. And so I really wanted to find the distinction between, you know, Jim Morrison, the persona, and James Douglas Morrison, the person.
That's awesome. And this is a 3-part docuseries. What made you decide on going in that direction? And what are some of the technical aspects that you kept in mind while doing this project?
Mm. Well, it just, I guess in the end, no pun intended, it just naturally, organically evolved into a three-part docuseries. At one point, it was a six-parter.
Wow.
And then it was even morphing beyond that. You know, I was like, okay, what are we doing here? Is this going to become a 10-part, 12-part thing, which it easily could have done, honestly. I mean, I worked on this for over 12 years. So I hope to do a director's cut at some point with everything, all the footage for the fans, you know, because these interviews, some of which didn't even make the cut, they're all incredible. It was just down to time constraints, logistics, you know. But so in the end, it evolved into a three-part, which I felt was a nice, you know, almost like a beginning, middle, end, if you will.
Yeah. You mentioned interviews, and documentaries are all about that, about powerful interviews. How did you find those people that were close to him, and how did you gain their trust? How was that process?
Ooh. That was the key word, process. I mean, again, another of myriad reasons why it took me over 12 years to do this, not the least of which was pulling together the financing. You know, I've joked many times that, with all due respect to Steven Spielberg, who's brilliant, I am sort of the flip or inverse of that. I don't have a huge Hollywood crew and millions of dollars. Yeah. So, you know, I'm a true independent indie filmmaker. And so that alone took so much time. But to earn the trust of, I mean, I interviewed over 130 people who knew Jim on camera. And of those 130, there was a fuller spectrum of over 1,000 people connected to Jim in those dozen years who I reached out to. So that alone was just a glacial process. But earning their trust was amazing. Like Jim's brother, Andy Morrison, case in point, that was a long germinating process that took time and effort, you know, to get there. So I'm grateful for all of it.
That's wonderful. That's a lot of interviews. And talking about the topic of the documentary, why do you think there's still so much doubt and curiosity about Morrison's death?
I mean, Jim, you know, I've said many times on the record, Jim's in the, you know, the pantheon, if you will, or the, you know, as I often say, he's on the Mount Rushmore of rock, you know, he's up there with Elvis and John Lennon and, you know, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, you know, I guess that's more than Mount Rushmore, but, you get the idea. I mean, he was a living legend, even in the context of his times. And that legend has only grown, you know, over time, over, you know, half a century. We're talking like 54 years, you know, from when he allegedly died. So the legend grows. I often make the analogy that it's like campfire stories, you know, where these campfire stories are passed down from families and friends through generations. And you know, everyone sort of embellishes each time the story is told, to the point that maybe after so many years, the original story doesn't even really resemble, you know, what's being told now. And I think that applies to Jim for sure.
Yeah, that's true. And what do you hope the audience will take away from the story?
I mean, honestly, I have so many goals for that. But the number one, which again has been there from the beginning, I just really hope that people take the time, you know, because we live in such a, you know, rapid fire culture, you know, where everything's literally a click away. And, you know, sometimes critical thought can be pushed aside, you know, in terms of a knee jerk reaction, you know, or a hot take, as they say, and teach their own. I say that all the time, teach their own, as long as they're not an asshole about it.
Exactly.
But, you know, bottom line, I hope they just take the time to sit with it, come to their own conclusions, whatever they may be, whether they agree with me or not, that's fine. You know, I respect everyone's take, again, as long as they're civil about it. Yeah. But I really sincerely hope that they come away with a deeper, you know, broader understanding of who Jim Morrison was, not just as a rock star, but as a poet, a filmmaker, a writer, an artist, and most of all, a human being, a real person.
Exactly, because there's a lot of projects that talk about him as a rock star. And how is your project different from those? What are you trying to portray him as? How did the first two other films or documentaries they made about him in the past?
That's a great question. I would say, honestly, you know, as I've said before, Jim's, you know, incredible life was amazing, you know, but it's overshadowed by his supposed death, his purported death. The same way, interestingly, that his nuanced, you know, more subtle, if you will, poetry is overshadowed by his rock stardom, you know, because his rock stardom is so, like, you know, in your face.
Yeah.
And again, to his credit, you know, but the poetry is sort of the flip side of that, that really showcases more of who he was at his core, which I'm on the record, you know, I say it in Before the End. He was a sensitive, highly sensitive person and an introvert at, you know, by his nature.
Yeah.
And some people just can't wrap their minds around that. They just think of him in the leather pants screaming on stage or being all fucked up, you know, on whatever substance. Again, those things, two things can be true simultaneously. That was certainly a part of him.
Exactly.
But I think his core was a sensitive introvert.
Exactly. And with over 130 interviews that you did, was there one that stood out or a moment that really stuck with you that you can share with us?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many. Maybe we can make this a three-parter, this interview.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I mean, the ones that always jump to mind, Robin Wertle, certainly at the very top. She was Jim's, what we now call, a personal assistant.
Mm.
And she was hired by him during his brief sabbatical in Paris, where he was there less than 4 months. You know, people often are like, oh, how many years was he over there? I was like, less than 4 months.
Wow.
So I think he went over there systematically to fake his death. That was the whole point. He'd already visited there 13 months earlier in June of 1970, which I call his reconnaissance mission, which is explored in the doc. But Robin Wertle, you have to see it and hear it to believe it. The stuff she imparted to me, it's like she was, as I always say, she was trying to loosen what I call her albatross necklace. She was trying to get this off her chest just enough so she could get some breathing room and then clamp it back down. And but her revelations were absolutely mind-blowing. And they blow, as has been written, they blow the hinges off the official story of Jim's death. And then there's Bill Thomas, who was a high school friend of Jim's. Real quick, he said in the doc on the record that when Jim was around 17 in 1961, when they were seniors in high school, he told Bill and a couple of other friends that he would become famous and disappear and lead an anonymous life.
Wow. Interesting.
And they were, you know, at age 17, they, as Bill hilariously relates, he looked, you know, he said they all looked at Jim like, whatever, Morrison, you're a weirdo, you know? And he's like, we didn't know what to make of, you know, this guy saying this. But I honestly, it just plugs in to what I believe was a 10-year plan. You know, not that he had it all mapped out. I think at that moment in time, when he was 17, he was doing this as a means to escape what was a very traumatic childhood, for reasons I also delve into in Before the End. But I think he had the loose plan mapped out, and he, you know, was essentially writing a story, a play, if you will, with himself in the starring role. And it was brilliant.
That's amazing. You also have a book coming out. Can you talk a little bit about that and if it's connected to the series in any way?
Yes, thank you. Yes, the book is actually was designed from the get-go as a companion piece to the documentary. Actually, it's since evolved. I've worked on the book, you know, parallel to the doc. And even that was, I think, now 6 years in the works in and of itself. But I also began a book back in 1996. So this is the culmination of that book. So you can almost argue I've been working on this book for 29 years.
Wow.
And the book is called, 127 Fascination, Jim Morrison Decoded. And it's meant to be sort of the literal conclusion to Before the End, Searching for Jim Morrison. So it's my, as I say, my final dive down the Morrison rabbit hole. And as I've said many times, once you go down that rabbit hole, it doesn't end there. That, at the bottom of that rabbit hole are multiple other rabbit holes that shoot off in every direction.
Definitely. Awesome. And what's next for you after this project?
I hope an extremely long vacation. With my girlfriend and just get away from it all for a while. But the work continues, you know, just because you rap on the documentary. I mean, here I am promoting it, which I greatly appreciate from you and others who've interviewed me. It's a lifelong commitment. You know, I'll always be a part of me and I'll always be out there hoping that people can come together through empathy for Jim, you know, to again, get a deeper, you know, more widescreen, if you will, perspective of who he was and who he very well might still be. And I took this off my wall. This is my favorite life quote. Hope you can see it here.
Yeah.
David Lynch.
Oh, yeah. Everything is a mystery and we're all detectives.
Yeah, this is sort of my words to live by, helped guide me the whole time.
Definitely.
And still guides me now. It's been a favorite life quote for decades. So
that's wonderful.
But I hope, if the cards align correctly, that maybe there's another docu-mystery in my midst. I've got a few ideas up my sleeve, so we'll see how it shakes out.
That's awesome. And you're an independent filmmaker. What advice would you give to young filmmakers out there that dream of making projects as ambitious as yours, docu-mystery? What advice would you give to them to keep going, to find inspiration, to work through the challenges?
I've been asked that question many times, and it always makes me sort of chuckle because on the one hand, ironically, I think, well, whatever you do, don't follow my path, you know, because my path, again, took me, you know, decades. Just the film alone took over 12 years. On the other hand, you know, for those who are like me, who want to maybe think outside the box, for whatever reason, you know, circumstances, financial issues, you know, whatever it is. For me, I had wanted to attend film school back in the late 80s after high school, but that never came to fruition for a number of reasons. So I feel like I've come full circle in that sense myself. You know, and as friends have joked with me, you know, I took the punk rock approach or the DIY approach, you know, do it yourself, whatever you want to call it, indie, independent. I just did it. I just went for it. And it wasn't easy, but it was very gratifying. And so I would tell anyone out there, you know, if this is a true passion of yours, you really won't be able to, you know, deny it. You're going to follow that path, whatever it is, you know, making a documentary, writing a book, making a painting, whatever it is, there'll be a magnetic force that pulls you through it. And, you know, just remember that you're going to fuck up as I did. You're going to make mistakes along the way, but that's what being a human being is. You know, we learn from our mistakes, you know,
exactly.
Otherwise we would just be these robots, you know? So, it's an organic process and I wish everyone the best with it.
Exactly. I have another question that just came to me regarding post-production. I'm a filmmaker as well, so I love documentaries. I do a couple of my own. And I always struggle with the post-production. How did you approach that for this such a complex project that you have in hand? How did you approach putting the story together, organizing all those interviews? Where did you start? How do you start that?
that in and of itself, as you know, is just a Herculean process, you know, and obviously the longer the doc, the longer the post-production. I was really grateful to have worked with, after a few initial editors didn't really pan out, I finally found the right fit with a film editor named Steve Schuster. He and I really were like, we joked many times that he and I were like Sherlock Holmes and Watson, you know,
yeah.
like these two detectives up to our eyeballs in this mystery, you know, endless mystery.
Yeah.
And that theme saw its way right through post-production as well. And, you know, we learned the top thing we had to wrap our minds around was to be patient.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just took forever. And the fans were getting really restless, you know. And I couldn't tell them. That was the irony, is I couldn't tell them that at one point the doc was done in late 2016. And that's when Mr. X, Frank Wagner, yeah. as he has now revealed himself, appeared on my radar. And then I had to literally rebuild the doc from scratch wow. to accommodate his storyline. And then that took another many years.
Yeah.
And the fans were like, is this thing ever going to be done? And I couldn't say, hey, I found this guy who I think is Jim. And, you know, so I had to just do my best to roll with it, you know. And but yeah, post-production was its own process, yeah. as you said.
It is. Yeah, it's not easy. But thank you for sharing that. Those are all the questions I have. Is there anything else you'd like to share that I may have missed? Or any social media that you want people to follow or stay updated with the project, the release, or your work?
Oh, thanks. Yeah. There's a number of outlets online where they can plug in and go down the rabbit hole with me. the main one is the Facebook page. If they just go to Facebook and punch in Before the End, searching for Jim Morrison, it'll bring it right up.
Okay.
There's like 10,000 people out there going down that rabbit hole simultaneously, just from that alone. Same thing on Instagram, Before the End, searching for Jim Morrison. They just search for that. I also have a newer account on Blue Sky. And then there is my main hub for my production company, Z Machine.
Mm-hmm.
They can go to zmachine.net. That's Z, like the initial for zoo or zebra. Machine, all one word, zmachine.net. And there's a huge... ever evolving what I call the BTE for Before the End, the BTE FAQ or the BTE FAQ.
Yeah.
And that is, of course, the frequently asked questions. And that thing has become its own,
yeah.
almost like a book. And, you know, there's many spoilers there, so beware. But yeah, those are the main places to connect.
Perfect. Online. That's awesome. I will share around on our social page and our podcast, our magazine and all that. Thank you so much for your time. Wonderful project. Congratulations. It's not easy to make that happen, especially over a decade of work. So congratulations. And I look forward to seeing
thank you so
more
much.
Of your work.
Oh, thank you so much. And again, I appreciate you having me on. And it was good meeting you.
My pleasure. Nice
I wish you all the best with your film work as well.
Thank you so much. Nice meeting you.
Be patient. Remember to be patient.
Thanks for listening to Action Magazine, the podcast. Keep creating, keep dreaming, and stay in action. Catch you next week.